Blog Talk Radio.
Hey guys, this is Those Guys with your host, Matt Marrero, along with your other host,
Satish Ram, who's currently really enjoying green tea. But what's up?
I mean, I understand why. It's green, it's tea. I mean, why wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, it's not emerald tea, per se. We don't have an emerald character in the show for me to make a joke about yet. But we might at some point. I mean, they're hinting at so many new characters at some point, so...
What's interesting, what I've noticed so far, and I only bring this up because of the fact that we haven't seen a male gem other than Steven, have we?
Well, it's weird because technically,
right?
I think we're assuming that the other gems are female.
Fair enough. They could be gender neutral. Fair enough. Like,
yeah,
know,
that's the thing. Where, of course, you know, they act in what is traditionally feminine roles and have more feminine voices, etc., and, you know, don feminine looks. But I don't know if the concept of gender is particularly one that applies to them.
I only realized it. It only happened to me because it felt as if, I don't know if it was just the fact that, okay, so when Steven's dad basically hugged Pearl for a long time, I didn't know if it was a mixture of, you know, just this, you know, this this dirty man hugging me, this, you know, this I don't really enjoy this kind of affection. We gems don't normally give this kind of affection, or the idea of just he is, you know, a male. Not anything anti-male, but, you know, you see the gems thus far, and they've all had these feminine characteristics. So in my head, for some reason, it brings me to this, like, the Wonder Woman kind of Amazon, you know, tribe kind of situation.
I mean,
not
well,
anti-male, necessarily.
Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. I mean, for me, I think I just assumed it was just the affection. Because,
right.
And the affection being from Greg and not, like, you know, because I've seen her, like, hug Steven, you know, and hold on to him. Because he of course, is defined as a young male. But... It just, I guess to me, it's just the whole situation where she's just like, oh my God, okay.
Too much.
Not
too much.
Ever doing that again.
Yes. Oh, by the way, if any of you want to call in and talk about Steven Universe with us, today we're doing House Guest in Space Race, episodes 27 and 28. If you want to call in, the number is 718-664-9468. And tell them what else they can do with our call-in number, Satish.
Yeah, as always, our call-in number, 718-664-9468, is put in place for two reasons. One, you can call in to get on the air with us if you have a comment or question you'd like to share. And you can just hit the one button when you call in so we get a little notification and we can put you on with us. Now, if you don't want to come in the air with us, but you just want to find an alternate way to listen because your internet's unavailable, you can't play it through the internet player, whatever it might be, you can call that number, 718-664-9468, and listen in as if it was a regular phone call or something of the nature.
Yes, you can. So, how did you feel about the first episode, House Guest? Usually, if there's any new listeners, we usually go about the episodes in, you know, in order, and we usually sometimes pick out little things here and there, though it's really hard with Steven Universe when the episodes are 15 minutes long. But, overall, what did you think about House Guest?
Yeah, House Guest was a really nice episode in the sense that I've come to really appreciate Greg and Greg Universe, and...
Yes.
So much so that I think one of the reasons I originally got into the show was I found his character just aloof but very lovable in episode two. And so I sit there and I see that with him, and what's not said in the episode is really important because there's a lot of implied in terms of – a lot is implied, rather, in terms of Greg really missing time with Steven. And it's nice, too, because you can also see the fact that Steven misses it, too. And so the song, I thought, was a really touching and just beautiful touch on the episode. Now, another thing I really like about Steven Universe is the music. So what they're able to do, Rebecca Sugar and her team there, is to create these kind of 8-bit sounding, you know, video game effect things in the background. And on top of that, have a really, really nice song, just period, emotionally. And it was cute and, you know, just kind of like the feels factor, where...
Yeah,
I get
was,
it. I mean, yeah. Greg feels like he's not in Steven's life anymore, and he wanted to be. And it just, it makes sense. I mean, he knows that he can't do magic shit, as he basically says, but
right.
he also doesn't want to hold Steven back, which you can tell. I mean, he was just, for a little bit, just really happy to spend time with his son, basically in the way that he used to, which it's implied that he wasn't able to do that for a long time.
Oh, yeah, and also, well, even just the fact that he's always kind of homeless, you know, compared to, let's say, living with Steven.
Correct.
Also, the fact that, you know, I mean, of course, you know, focusing on Greg is a great thing, but also thinking about what Steven said, it really always hits me, you know, right in the feels, right in the heart, when he says, you know, oh, you're the best in the world, no one's like you, because, you know, for many, right, even the gems, in a way, are just like, yeah, you know, Greg, the guy, you know, who just, like, lives there, you know, the homeless guy. Like, you know, just, like, kind of, you know, has his own car wash, but, I mean, doesn't wash himself. Like, you know, it looks like that to them, right? But then Steven's like, you mean my dad, the best man in the world, you know? And it's just, it's really heartwarming that, you know, you understand that, yeah, that's how kids perceive their parents. And then another nice lesson to parents, I think, in this episode, was the fact, because usually these episodes, and even things like Gravity Falls, they try and teach kids something. And by the way, their lessons are great, obviously. But when it comes to this, I like that it kind of told parents, hey, you know, be careful what you say to your kids. You know, because people forget that. People think, oh, I'm going to, they want to be good parents. They're like, oh, yeah, I'm going to parent my kid. I'm going to parent them. And then they don't really, you know, think of what they say before they say it. And they don't realize that the impact that it can have on their child. And I really enjoyed that in this episode, you know, Steven only was, you know, the way he was because his dad did not encourage him. Basically.
Yeah, it also, I think, is important to discuss the idea of, like, you sometimes see in these generic moments of, like, let's teach the kids something,
right,
that cartoons will go ahead and make it so the kid's making the mistake and the parent is the figure that is always in the right.
Yes.
And yes. I'm not saying that's, you know, like, completely wrong, but I think it's important that they were able to show an episode where a character who is deemed aloof and arguably, you know, not the brightest bulb in the candelabra, that he is going to make mistakes, and he is going to do things that are inherently kind of bad, not really harmful, but, you know, in terms of, he just wanted to spend time with Steven. He didn't want to hold Steven back, you know?
No.
So that
no.
was an unintended consequence, but he did make a mistake in terms of, you know, lying to Steven, and it was nice to also see him, you know, own up to it and basically say, I screwed up, and then try to fight, you know, he goes into this place of magic and danger for Steven. Because in his head, it's like, I have to rectify this for Steven, or else what kind of a father am I to this kid? And it makes a good example of the relationship where Steven obviously looks up to Greg a lot, regardless. He doesn't see Greg the way we even, or the gems, see Greg, where, you know, he still thinks, I mean, his dad got him into music, obviously, and I think that's a huge thing. That
was a nice
enough.
Little thing. Yeah, and I feel like it was a little thing because it really wasn't stated. You know, it is. I don't feel like it's ever really stated outright. I mean, I think maybe once when Steven mentioned, oh, yeah, you know, like, you know, my dad does this and I do this. I don't know. But it's really nice just, you know, without it really being mentioned, like, hey, look, Dad, we have guitars, you know, something like that. It's just, no, there's a guitar there and then there's a bigger one there. And that, you know, and Steven's always singing, and it's like, yeah, out of context, they're just like, oh, they just jumped into a musical. But really, when you sit there, you go, wait a minute, you know, the dad is musical, the son is musical as well. So it's kind of, it's a really nice, you know, touch and just a little stuff that, you know, you could say, like, oh, it's just, you know, like, why is he wants to just be in a band? But yeah, his dad was. His dad was in something.
I definitely feel like, you know, from the beginning where I still think, let me drive my van into your heart is like this adorable little, you know, thing going on. But it's not directly stated, of course, but it's heavily now implied and directly shown that Steven is musical because of his father. And that might be my favorite thing about Greg Universe because, you know, Steven on his ukulele or a little guitar is very much into music. He's talented, and he picked that up from his dad. So as much as they make Greg seem like he is, again, like aloof, somewhat useless, he's obviously a talented musician. And this shows in his music, and, you know, Steven says in the song, like, you know, you used to sing to me growing up, and it just brings these nice images of Greg taking care of Steven, singing to him, basically saying that even if it seems to us like Greg is an idiot, which I don't believe, but I know that, you know, it's portrayed that way.
Right, again, yeah.
He obviously did everything in his human power to be a good father to Steven, and Steven realizes that and really appreciates that.
Yeah, you know, it was very emotional, you know, when you know, Steven says things like, you know, you're the best in the world, and really means it. And, you know, and of course, you know, Greg, you know, loving Steven as well, but just, again, the idea that it's just, you are the best in the world, there's no one like you. And it's like, well, oh, you know, I don't know. For some reason, for me, it just really, you know, it hits close to home. You know, I think that's another thing, too, when, you know, when, and I like a show like that, by the way. It's not like I'm going to go, oh, God, you know, and then turn it off. No, the idea that it can get me and hopefully it can get others because, I mean, it's something, you know, it's not as if we shouldn't shield ourselves. Like, oh no, it hits, it hurts me. I must stop. You know, no,
mm-hmm.
I mean, feelings, we feel. Sadly, we feel. We are human.
Yeah, but see, that's, I mean, it's just, it's really easy to go on about Huskies because I guess I really like that they were able to put this together because I feel like sometimes that in terms of Greg's character, that his appearances and his on-screen time are limited, you know. And
very much so.
You know,
and
outside
go ahead. I was going to say, I like that in 2 weeks in a row we got Greg.
Yeah, I think that it's nice. It was almost surprising for me to realize that he's been have. I mean, the Huskies is basically a Greg, you know, filler episode. And
yeah.
It also reestablishes, by the way, that Steven can heal humans. You know, let's not let that go by the boards.
That's nice.
He can heal humans and gems because it's proven that he can heal now both. And
yeah.
Regardless of quote-unquote inconsistencies, I mean, the geode isn't a living thing. So I can understand maybe why his powers haven't elevated to that level yet. But I also,
right.
I don't know if you disagree with me, but I feel like his spit was able to heal it, but because Greg taped the spit to the hole. That's like
maybe.
A thing in my head. You know, obviously,
I mean,
you know,
it could
no
be.
Confirmation
I just think
either
that,
way.
I just think that, I would just argue that, you know, Steven, it's a mental thing. That's what I would say, where, you know, you can, like, wow. I'm stuttering. I'm a Dudley boy again. Fetish Ram, you're good at being smart. If it's your area of expertise. Yeah, right?
That's
if
the sentence that you fucked up on?
Yes.
You are
yes.
good at being a smart.
No, that's what
I'm
it came to. That's what it came to at the end. No, but seriously, you know, if it's your area of expertise, right, you're good at it. That's obvious. You know, Steven
Correct.
Is not his area of expertise, but he has mastered the idea that if I spit onto something, it will be healed. You know, he mastered that. It's happened. But if you're put under pressure or told, oh, maybe you can't do it, you know, especially know this, you know, for you and I especially, it might hurt us. Even if you go, no, but this is my area of expertise, you may perform less, you know, because of the idea of, oh, darn, will I, oh, darn, will I. And some others, thankfully, they can just rise to the occasion and then they'll just beat its ass. But for some of us, I feel like it can hurt us a bit. So especially now, think about it, a 10-year-old boy, of course that can take a toll on him, which brings me back to my point of I just really enjoyed that message to the parents where it's just, hey, guys, you know, how about you don't say stupid crap to your kid and then one day go, I don't know what happened. You know what I mean? Maybe, mind you, now I would like to put that out there, I'm not saying that you should give them, you know, complete, no matter what, you know, they get a 30 on a test, don't you worry. You're still more special than anyone else in the world. I mean, maybe, but you also still failed. Let's all, like, you know, like let's put some emphasis on
you know,
that.
There's
but,
a tough balance.
Yeah.
Right, I agree.
Yes, right. But at the same time, you know, the exact opposite, where it's just, Mom, I got 100, and you know, I got 100. I got 100 on the test. You know, Mom looks at the test, or Dad looks at the test, or Guardian, and says, there was extra credit on here. You didn't get it. Why did you not get the extra credit?
Yeah, see,
you know
that
I mean?
that was kind of like my upbringing. You know, and after
yeah.
years, that takes a toll on you. So it's nice to see even in a TV show, like, promoting these ideas of parenting that I kind of appreciate. And I really like that it is basically implied that Greg was a crazy, incredible parent to Steven as a father. And,
yeah.
you know, you look at what they do with Steven in terms of his failures and his successes, and that kind of highlights another thing in the show that they do right. Or at least in my opinion, they do right, is that not every episode or not every arc is Steven saves the day. In sense that, like, in general sense, it wouldn't have been completely outlandish if when Steven had his little moment when he did this cute little, like, double healing power thing to the Geode.
Right.
It would not have been outlandish for that to have worked. A lot of people would have sat there and accepted it, and I would have been like, that's cool, you know, it's nice. He has the inspiration behind him from his father. That makes sense. But it didn't do that alone. And
no,
I thought
exactly.
that was kind of significant watching it again, because not everything is Steven saves the day. I mean, in fact, up till arguably, you know, Mirror Gem, he's had moments where he may have stumbled into it or somehow worked into working things out. But not everything is Steven saves the day. I mean, you look at
sometimes
something like...
It's Steven hurts the day sometimes.
Yeah, and I mean, he does help more than he hurts, you know. But
right,
you look at
course.
Something like Coach Steven, where although he was motivational for Pearl, Pearl was the one who saved all of their lives, you know, and
right.
that was
no,
a big thing.
Oh, yeah. I think that, you know, it's great to not just say, because, again, if Steven saved the day, then it's basically, in a way, showing kids, like, you know, because, again, good lesson for parents, but not a kid. It's just, yeah, I don't need my parents. Look what they do. But then at the end of the day, it's just actually, you know, let's let Greg help him. So the idea of, see, kids, you know, just because your parents mess up doesn't mean that they're not there for you and they can't help you.
Yeah, and Steven has so many successes in terms of, like, you look back, he saved Connie. And obviously, you know, the major one being Mirror and Ocean Gem, where not only did he save, you know, Lapis and Fixer Gem, but his shield came at the time when he shattered everything that Lapis had created. So,
right.
you know, he's got enough balance where you can sit there and think, wow, he is useful, and he has the potential to be incredible. I mean, arguably, based on Ocean Gem alone, it's hard to, I guess, sit there and figure out how much power Steven has. Because in my head, if his inexperience moment, and he was still able to bring up that shield, and it was so strong that it basically stopped everything Lapis had put down, while the other three were barely able to match it in power, you know, it's implied that he has an incredible capability unlocked in him. I'm sorry,
so what
well,
you're
locked
trying to
within
say,
him.
So what you're trying to say is that we need to send some of these, you know, these Steven Universe writers off to WWE. So that hopefully they understand that, hey, John Cena has 10,000 wins. Maybe he doesn't have to look so strong all the time. That's what you're telling
me. Yeah, because once – here's the thing, too. Like, let's say you look at – and I'll say this, you know, almost grudgingly because I was a huge fan growing up. But look at Goku. When you establish
Whoa.
Goku, right?
Yeah?
Yeah, well, when you establish Goku as, like, super strong, that's the
right.
expectation. You know, once you've hit pinnacle of strength – you will continue to be, like, the standard of strength. You'll continue to be there. So when new opponents come, you just get stronger. And it's like there wasn't as much of a need to reestablish Goku's strength in terms of from villain to villain. Because as much as we're trying to say, oh, this villain is stronger than the last one, that's the storytelling, it's implied that he gets stronger. I mean, it's inherent in the sense that Saiyans get stronger when they fight, you know? But
well, Dragon Ball, I think, was a bit better. You can actually, honestly,
Dragon
I would
Ball
compare...
Z. Speaking of Dragon Ball Z,
Dragon Ball.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, fair enough, and I get you completely. But I think that, you know, this also could be, you know, compared to Dragon Ball, where this is the show that it's just very, like,
this
hard
is also
to see grow.
Actually. Mm-hmm.
Yes, you can see him grow, right? And hopefully, now that you bring that up, hopefully we don't really see an adult Steven unless, you know, he's teaching a younger, you know, like his child or something along those lines.
Yeah, no, see,
you
that's
know?
A definite thing where you look at, like, you know, Dragon Ball and Steven Universe are very, very
right.
paralleling in that sense. It's a very good comparison. And you look at the Goku to, like, Gohan connection in terms of
right.
Gohan being the closest thing to what we have in Steven now, where in the sense that there is locked potential there. And if he were to hit it, I mean, you know, it's not like going to happen for Steven in the sense of, like, what happened for Gohan against Cell. But there is an incredible amount of potential in Steven Universe. And
right.
the show and the character, the titular character himself. And it just makes me excited at the thought. Because I don't think I've been disappointed with even, like, the filler they've thrown out. You know, I mean,
no.
In the beginning...
Yeah.
I think it started slow for me because I was kind of hoping for more. But looking back now, I can understand that the path they're taking is basically like, this is a coming of age for Steven. And first off, we're going to make sure that everybody gets ample time around him because they're also important. But secondly,
yes,
this is a coming of age for a 10-year-old boy. He's not going to wake up in the morning and become John Cena Goku. You know, he is going he is going to struggle. He is going to, and I mean, you look at it, they teased it in the first few episodes where, you know, when he had his cookie cat thing, where he was able to activate his powers for a bit, but it just didn't work after, you know? And so there's moments, and it's also shown that, again, with the Connie episode, the original one, he is not useless without his powers. He is very capable, even as a 10-year-old boy, without his powers.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I really enjoy this series as a kind of slice of life, but what's interesting about it is that, you know, it fools you into thinking that it's only, you know, the story about him growing up that would make certain people yawn, and it's just, no, guys, there's fights. You know, when you least expect it, someone's going to beat someone up, you know, and I mean destroy. You look at, let's say, the Mirror Gem, you know, Ocean Gem episodes that, for some, it's just, okay, let's tune in the Steven Universe again, right? If you, you know, to the uninformed. And all of a sudden, it's just, bam, you get that. And then you go, oh, darn, that must be the season finale, which we were talking about before, probably was, you know, not too sure about that, you know, the way Wikipedia showed it. And then all of a sudden, what happens? Believe the week right after, new Steven Universe. So when you sit there and you go, damn, you know, maybe I'll keep on watching, right? If that was either a new viewer or someone who kind of just tuned in and out, you know, the idea is I'll make sure to watch this somehow because, you know, it'll take you to these really awesome places where it's not just, you know, Steven wakes up, Steven eats breakfast, Steven is Moe. You know, none of that, you know, it's not just like him just growing up. It's just the idea of, you know, all this, you know, cool stuff happening around him, which is why it was such a, I feel like, a great sell to the network where it's just, hey, you know, not only is this boy growing up, and by the way, you know, your quote unquote only demographic or your biggest demographic is boys, which is so dumb, but still, whatever, right? Statistics, quote unquote. So yeah, you know, you want to market something to boys. Here's boys, and then you know, here's his friends that they fight and they use cool powers and stuff. Yeah, you know, and again, it was a very nice sell when you see what it became and the people that are working on it, because just like Gravity Falls, I feel like the filler isn't skippable. You know, some shows, like, I'm sorry to interrupt you, some anime, you know, like Bleach, let's say, you can seriously say, I've skipped this arc, and you're done. You know, you can just wait a couple months, maybe even a year, and just sit there and just do other things until the filler arc is over.
I mean, with Steven Universe, and of course Gravity Falls, another show that we constantly discuss here on the air, the filler is not even classified as filler in my head. Because logically, yes, it isn't story progression, so it must be filler, kind of. But for me, like, growing up, filler had such a negative connotation because I looked at something like the Naruto anime. And Naruto, just, oh my God, it was just filler on filler on filler, so much so that I lost interest in it. You know, I just didn't want to watch because I didn't want to deal with this much filler, where something like this, of course, in a shorter span, it's much easier not to get bored with filler. But there are, you know, redeeming qualities about this quote-unquote filler that make you want to watch. I mean, there are a lot of feels in Steven Universe, and I really appreciate that. An Indirect Kiss, which, although relevant to story, I mean, that was a big feels thing for me. Monster Buddies, feels, but also some slight story progression. And you look at things like even House Guest, which is, again, filler, but it's confirmed Steven can heal human beings. It, you know, we have a little bit more in terms of confirming, yes, you know, Greg was musical with Steven growing up. He's still musical with him now. Right. And just, oh, and Pearl is apparently, when she gets really dedicated to something, she gets really dedicated to something.
Right.
Which is further exemplified in the second episode that we're talking about today.
Also, and you know, when you say confirmed, I want to clarify for everyone else. Obviously, you know, it already happened to Connie, but the idea that it wasn't just some anomaly that he'll just not be able to do, like in Cookie, you know, in Cookie Cat.
Yeah, exactly that. Because
behind.
With Connie, I mean, there's a lot that went into that moment in Indirect Kiss. And outside of the fact that we were feeling things, they were feeling things. I mean, there was a tease of, like, a little infatuation. There was a high emotional moment there. And also, when you look at Steven channeling his shield in Ocean Gem, high emotion, wanting to protect his friends. So being able to do it on command, both with Lapis and with his father, show that he can command that ability just by spitting. He does have healing spit. So it definitely amuses me, by the way, that he has fucking healing spit. I mean, come on.
Oh, yeah. But, I know. It is. Yes.
You know.
And before we move on, I want to mention something else that's very amusing. I love how Pearl doesn't know what tape is, especially when it saved the universe. Just saying. Tape saved the universe.
Yeah, it's amusing that the gems, thousands of years old as they may be, are still unaware of, like, every Earth thing where, you know, Pearl didn't know what school was. And Garnet didn't exactly know what a video game arcade was. And
that's why I feel as if, you know, they really, like, they may have only been on Earth for 10 years or so.
Yeah, it's implied that they came to Earth. I mean, even if you give it another year or two or so, but it's implied
12.
That they came to Earth right around the time that Steven was going to be or was born. So they are new to Earth.
Well, no, not that necessarily, because remember that, you know, Rose had to meet Greg. So
yeah, I understand time passage and all that, but just it's not.
Right. Again, 12 years, let's say, if Steven's 10 right now.
Yeah, because
right?
It's so, arguably, I mean, I know there was that picture with Rose and them fighting a shark and stuff like that, but that could all have been with, you know, it's,
yeah.
So that, like, some of that stuff is confusing in terms of, like, do we count that
Thank
and assume that, you know, like, do we count that and assume they were on Earth for, like, hundreds of years? I don't know. But regardless, like, even if we were wrong in what we just said and they were on Earth for 500 years, right?
Right.
It is completely conceivable that in doing their daily duties, that they didn't have to come into use of things like duct tape. Because, you know, Pearl has police tape, and she, you know, in terms of when they did the Moss episode, which was funny. Because she knows, like, this makes humans go away. And
yes.
So in terms of referencing
no
her knowledge. Right. She doesn't, like, she couldn't explain to you authority and the police, but she knew that made humans stay away. So it's significant in terms of the fact that something like school or duct tape just may not have crossed their paths, and it makes sense because thousands of years old, why would the crystal gems need school and or duct tape? So it doesn't bother me when that happens. I think it's just kind of quirky and amusing.
Yeah, they may have a schooling system, but not the way, you know, that word specifically or the, you know, word educate. Because, again, we get educated there. Oh, education. Oh, okay, that's important.
Yeah, because when Steven said, teach me, she knew exactly, you know, what needed to be done. But in terms of school, she was just like, what is this school? It sounds exotic. And Steven, too, because he hadn't been to school.
Yeah. Also, something very interesting, I don't know how we work with Steven, but in terms of you mentioned the gems, and there is this, I remember last time I read this scientific theory. If you were to live for thousands of years, right, imagine the, you know, the vampire thing, right? Days to you would really happen like minutes with your brain. Your brain would not comprehend things the way they do right now.
That's correct, because we think about them like, hey, we're going to live like maybe 100 years or so max, right? So to us, days are still relevant. If you're living thousands of years, days are not relevant. Years perhaps are.
Yeah, so your brain kind of is, you know, compensates. And of course, the gems could be completely different from our physiology and everything. But, I mean, they do take a form that resembles human, which is also interesting in itself. You know, which reminds me, speaking of, we brought up Doctor Who in this show before, I really enjoy this quote where I believe it was Amy Pond who said to the doctor, you look human. And the doctor looked at her and said, you look Time Lord. And it was really funny. Yeah, it was just actually, like, you know, because of course Time Lords have been around for so long, hundreds and hundreds of years. So yeah, you look at this too, where it's just, you know, they look human, but arguably we could look, you know, gem. So anyway, the idea being that, they've lived so long, so that, 500 years, you know, doing their daily duties to them could have been yearly, you know? I mean, hell, you look at their areas and you see that they could have just sparred in those areas for years. You know, or just been lazy in terms of amethyst, you know, for years. And not even understood that it was that amount of time.
Yeah,
especially when you're in a different, you know, kind of pocket dimension thing that they have there.
Yeah, and it's just, it makes you think, I guess. And there's a lot of things that we have unanswered in the show up to this point. I mean, you look at the Steven's lion in the sense of, is that a shape-shifted gem somehow? Is there a gem under his mane? Or, you know, was the Desert Glass trying to do what Lapis did in terms of trying to get back to the Gem homeworld? You know, there's a lot of stuff going on that makes you think that, although this is under the guise of what is a children's show and can pass for that, there is a lot of deep stuff going on here.
Which is nice, you know, to have in a children's show. And, you know, we should stop talking like it's so off, because they are getting better. They, as in, you know, in general, creators are getting a lot better than that, you know, because I feel as if there was a lull period for a bit where it was just, you know, this show is entertaining, but, I mean, this is all you're going to get, which isn't bad. But I really enjoy that something like Steven Universe and Gravity Falls can put things into it that, you know, it isn't reaching. You know, because for some shows, it's kind of funny where, you know, Pokemon, let's say, you know, the whole Ash is in a coma, you know, things like that. The Rugrats are dead, you know, all this stuff. The cul-de-sac, they're in purgatory in Ed and Eddie. So little things like that are just like, okay, guys, you know, this is really fun. And on the internet,
I hate how you hit on, like, all of my favorite cartoon theories in one.
they're so heavily, you know, spread. But, of course, it's the idea of, yeah, they are just theories. But when you look at Gravity Falls and Steven Universe, you can really see that they aren't just, you know, us going, but look at this, you know. There's things that are just really put there for you. I mean, the only one that might be a theory, as in, like, nowhere near being factual, but it's still very interesting, is one apparently that Rose Quartz is blind. Because we've never seen her with her eyes open. Is one that I've heard.
Yeah, there's talk about that. And it's interesting to note that it's also through the virtue of the internet. But you look at something like Steven Universe and Gravity Falls, where Gravity Falls encourages you to have theories. So you can sit there and acknowledge the idea that, you know, we look at, like, Pokemon. Rugrats was Angelica, you know, had made this all up in her head. SpongeBob SquarePants, that it's the result of a nuclear testing zone, stuff like that.
Maybe.
Where we sit there and it's like,
that
cool.
That one I'll give.
Yeah, you know, overarching theories and stuff. But Gravity Falls and Steven Universe, and I think it's perhaps because I'm following this along as, you know, it develops, where there's a lot of theories that are just floating around that make equal sense. And until proven otherwise, you know, we have to understand that they're potentially valid. And so, you know, if I can segue into the second episode, do I have your permission?
Before we do, I want to mention that Steven reads Sailor Moon. I don't know if you caught that.
Does he really?
There's a Sailor Moon manga in his room when it, right before it gives a close up on him in his bed. You know, the whole, like, good night, Steven. Same right before that.
See that?
Right before that? Yeah.
That really makes the transformation scene from Indirect Kiss, where he gazed himself in rose vines. Do you remember?
Yes. Do I remember?
That makes it even more perfect. Because you sit there and it's like, Steven reads Sailor Moon.
Well, that's what's even better, too, by the way, is Sailor Moon has been released by Del Rey, if I'm correct, right? And I don't know if the update went through just yet, but if I'm correct, you can actually buy the Sailor Moon manga through us, through Right Stuff, via our website, thoseguysontheradio.tumblr.com. I'm
right.
pretty sure. If not, it will be updated soon. Don't you worry if you don't have it just yet. But but Sailor Moon is actually being released not fairly recently, but recent enough where if you were a kid, let's say, like, you know, us as children, right, we were watching Sailor Moon. You know, if you were, let's say, to go on the internet, you'd have to find Scanlations because they didn't have it, you know, released physically. You know, it's more of a recent thing to kind of have these nice translations of Sailor Moon via manga. So, yeah, he reads Sailor Moon, which you can tell. I mean, we've talked about this before. You can just tell that Rebecca Sugar is in love with Sailor Moon. You know, we know that she loves anime. We know she's confirmed to love One Piece, from what I've heard. So, yeah, she watched Sailor Moon when she was younger. That's a given.
Yeah, it fits the time frame, doesn't it? You know, people who are, you know, you look at Rebecca Sugar and Alex Hirsch, who, you know, we compliment over and over. But they're just, frankly, not that much older than you or I. So,
yeah.
I mean, they are older, but they're not that much older, where you see the youth movement here in animation and cartoons. And,
which is
you
nice.
Know, while there's things produced on the side that I think are absolutely terrible, like Clarence or Uncle Grandpa or things like that, and just overall television for children has dropped a bit and changed in a way that I don't really approve of, you know, we can pick out things like Gravity Falls, Steven Universe, even Adventure Time, which we don't talk about much, but it is a high-quality show.
Yes.
To, you know, latch on to and really enjoy. And, you know, just before that, I was going on about, like, the idea of theories and ongoing theories and stuff. And so segueing into the second episode here, one of the lines in Space Race opening, like in the early on part, made me really stop and think for a bit. Because when they're at the Galaxy Warp, Pearl is speaking to Steven. She says, yeah, you know, we used to use this warp to travel to the Gem homeworld and Gem-controlled planets.
Oh, dear.
And that actually got me to pause the episode. Not in, like, this kind of, like, dun-dun-dun way. But
right, but
isn't that something that went... I think, you know, that line was thrown away very quickly, and I just sat there and thought, Gem-controlled worlds. Gem-controlled worlds.
That's a scary
that
thought.
That implies that there are other home worlds that are not inherently crystal gems that are owned and operated, you know, basically like colonies. And I'm not saying that immediately means that, like, oh, that the crystal gems are enslaving people or something like that, you know? But
no,
what
but,
it,
but my head, it does go to conquer. Like, all I hear
that's
is...
What
if
I'm,
any,
that's what
no,
I thought,
yeah.
Because
all I hear
gem
is
controlled.
Hayden.
Yeah, it doesn't...
Right.
It doesn't strike me as a peaceful thing. And
no.
You look at the gems and you can see that they are obviously capable of advanced warfare,
yeah.
Or at least warfare. And it just makes me wonder. Because
yeah,
gem control world.
Yeah, it's either something like that or it's in a way trying to mirror the fact that, you know, the USA, not in a bad way, but again, how we have, you know, we have territories and we, you know, we had, now we have states, but you know what I mean? Like, in their galactic way, it's like, how do you have states? Well, we have worlds, you know, we have 50 of them. They all don't, you know, like, so, you know, you could, may possibly along those lines where, you know, I mean, hey, if we, I mean, look at the Doctor Who thing when they, because I don't know if you know this, Doctor Who at one point was, you know, went to the end of the Earth. The Doctor
okay.
And Rose went to the end of the Earth. And it was just, so what happened to everyone else? And it's like, oh, they just went off to different planets. You know, and then you notice that in, when they kind of go back to that area-ish of time in the 11th, because this was the 9th Doctor. Now you see it in the 11th Doctor, and there's actually a giant world that it's just like, hey, this is Britain now. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
See,
like,
it just
yeah.
makes you think, because when you look at something like the United States of America, because, of course, for any new listeners, you know, we live in New York in the United States of America. So you sit there and think, the states aren't, like, controlled by the United States, you understand? But you go back to colonies back in the day.
Right, yeah, that's
and
what I was thinking
so,
of more.
See, yeah, and that, of course, you look at, like, the U.S. colonies and going further than that, England, France, Italy, these, like, colonized worlds, by the Netherlands, even the Dutch, these worlds were either A, taken advantage of, or B, taken by force, neither of which, you know, bring anything to my mind that's positive. Like, in my head, I like to believe that the gems are not enslaving people, but there is something that make it just kind of set off a red flag in my head where I thought,
yeah, well,
what is this going to lead
you know,
to? And that's even without
yes.
the course of the episode, which showed
right.
some really interesting stuff.
Yeah.
Is all I can
which,
say
which,
for
well,
now.
Yeah. Well, what I'll say is, you know, I remember saying this 2 weeks ago, you know, the idea that, I mean, of course, you know, Pearl, Garnet and Amethyst are, you know, are very gem-like in certain ways. But at the same, you know, just like the Doctor. But at some point, you can also see that they left for a reason, you know? There's a reason, and you mentioned that too, there's a reason why they left. So the idea is that while they may not be perfect, obviously, you know, I feel as if, you know, her saying something like, oh, yeah, gem-like colonies, it might not have, like, a kind of, like, disgust in her voice, but I'm sure, you know, she didn't stay there going, oh, yeah, that's perfect. Yeah, I'm perfectly fine with that, you know, enslaved, you know, whatever. So, you know, the idea is they left for reasons. You know, they didn't enjoy it. They missed it, clearly, but I don't feel like they were just stranded on Earth. I
well,
hope
for
it
me,
wasn't just that.
One of the things that I always talk about is my theory of the show in terms of what I think they're doing here. And relevant to the point is that, A, Pearl seems to miss, you know, space a
yeah.
lot. And that's implied more so than Garnet and Amethyst. But
right.
swinging it back around here to this theory, for me, I've always told you that I felt like that the gems were sent to Earth to conquer it and
right.
not to help humanity. And that Rose, in meeting Greg, was convinced that humanity was not bad and was worth keeping around. And that she
yeah, yeah.
created Steven. She gave up her physical form to have Steven to signify the idea that, you know, humans and gems could live in harmony. And because of that, she created a hybrid child. So you look at, or mixed race, interracial, if you'd like to go there. So you look at this, and it kind of, in my head, reaffirms that idea that those set were eventually set to conquer Earth. And that the only reason Earth isn't a gem-controlled world is because they may have seen error in their ways.
Yeah, and that's why they've either been, you know, dismissed or disbarred or whatever it is, you know, from the excommunicated from the community or from the, you know, the idea of – it's very interesting. Now I'm starting to think about a lot of other manga as well. Obviously, the Kakarot Syndrome, the idea that, you know, we are here to conquer Earth.
That's another thing that's very significant. Yeah. You brought that up as a counter to my theory, and you can delve into that a little bit for anyone who's listening.
Well, no, the Kakarot Syndrome of, no, well, I wasn't thinking of the fact that they forgot, though that would be interesting if they just forgot there. No, but no, they clearly remember other things about themselves. I mean the Kakarot theory in the sense that it's just, we have come to conquer the Earth, but what about love? We will look into this, right, by the end of the series? By the end of the series, I know what I was meant to do, but love. Right, or the Sergeant Frog situation, though a bit less of procrastination and a bit more of just, you know, we don't want to take over the Earth, even though our main goal was to take over the Earth. But now we've become so accustomed to their faces, right, to the way everything is that, you know, I mean, the only difference is Sergeant Frog, every once in a while, they will think, here's how we'll take over the world today. And then they fail because they're idiots.
Yeah. But, right, and
right.
You spin that back to, like, the Kakarot theory. And
right.
You can look at something where Goku now vehemently protects Earth because Earth is his home. And
exactly.
The gems, too, it may not have been their original point, but now, based on how much time they've spent here, even if it is 12 years, it could be 500 as well, but, you know, any span, Earth is their home now. As
right.
much as maybe, you know, but... So that's why they protect it. But I have to be honest with you. I don't know if Steven Universe would go there. But if somebody was going to go the Vegeta route and betray them, isn't it seem like Pearl would be the one?
Yes, but I think what's nice is they can go
Pearl
more of
Seth
a
Rollins.
They can, yeah, right? Just curb stomp. No, the idea I think they would go with, instead of a Vegeta is, or, you know, any kind of, you know, thing like that, is I think they would go for more of a, like a Naruto villain, let's say, or even like a Bleach, where they are really only enemies via ideals and not sheer something. So in other words, it would be, you know, so let's say, you know, gem officials come down, let's say maybe even like a royal guard or something, and they say, we need to take you back. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and Pearl says, well, I understand your point. Let's go talk to them. And Garnet and, you know, and Amethyst are like, no. And then Pearl says, listen, they are the authority. You know, there are people we go against, and we went against them in protecting the Earth, but they've just assured us that the Earth will be safe. Why are we not trusting them?
So what you're
right?
saying is that
yes.
Pearl would align herself with the authority.
I
and
know,
disagree
I was hoping you'd pick that up.
With her
right.
former members, you know, one of them who uses a shield. I'm just saying that the
right.
parallels here may be a bit more accurate than we're willing to admit.
She did not
but
buy
Pearl
in
is Seth
at all.
Rollins to me.
She did not buy in, all right? Nor is she cashing in. She's doing nice, nor is she selling out. She is the. That's
Pearl
why
is
I really,
Seth Rollins. Garnet is Roman Reigns, and Amethyst is Dean Ambrose.
Those parallels are actually very fitting, and it unnerves me. Please, fan art, everyone, all of you that are listening, I'm putting my hands in the air. Gather your energy.
I'm just saying,
quickly.
I know due to Tiger Millionaire there's some crossover here, so arguably in my head, Pearl is Seth Rollins, Garnet's Roman Reigns, and Amethyst is Dean Ambrose. And anyone who's listening who happens to be, you know, who listens in on our wrestling podcast as well, prove me wrong.
So now here's something interesting. Before we move back into the episode itself, I want to mention the Tiger Millionaire references were mostly to older wrestling, right? You know, of course, the whole, like, blonde-haired, blue-eyed, really kind of muscular-ish, you know, not-so-muscular guys. And I want to bring up the fact that you've now made me realize that all three of the gems, including Rose, were the Four Horsemen.
I'm okay with that.
Of the apocalypse, basically, of just
of
because
the
they could have. Because
in my
they
head,
could've.
So
yes.
Steven is Ric Flair because woo!
Woo! right? But seriously, though, jumping back to the episode itself, I would like to mention, as if we're trying to get serious here, I would like to seriously mention Crying Breakfast Friends.
Oh, there was a lot from that episode that actually got me to kind of crack up a little bit. Perhaps one of my favorite lines. Dad, people invented spaceships and went to the moon, and we're people. We are people. I just kind of spurred because somehow in that ridiculous statement, Greg sat there and thought he has a point.
Yeah, right.
And I love that he basically said to him, I can make a bunk bed with wings, and their spaceship amounted to arguably a bunk bed with wings.
Right. I really enjoy the fact that, you know, there's a lot of ridiculousness, but you can see where some people will agree. You know, the idea of back to Steven and the Stevens, where it's just, you know, quickly, it's all three of us, you know, all three of you from the future, and, you know, don't ask any questions, but you want to make a band with us? Yes, like, you know, you sit there, you see that presented to you. So, like, I like these situations where it's just, it's not completely nonsensical when you sit there and you pick it apart and you go, we are people. Like, you know, we're not anything different than those, you know, we are people. Okay. Also, I enjoyed the fact that, you know, you bringing up Greg and being aloof, I really enjoyed, you know, the idea that it's just, you know, Greg sitting there looking at these cartoons and basically saying, I'm actually getting old. I used to like cartoons. Like just last week, you know what I mean? Like, I used to like cartoons in my old age. I must be getting old.
Yeah, no, it's just his fun-loving character shines through. And it was interesting that he led us to the fact that he's got an aunt and uncle who were apparently skilled in aviation. And also, you know, outside of the little joke they made about the Universe family being hoarders, because apparently they are, it was really, you know, this episode took an interesting turn. And I say interesting because I actually don't have any other way to describe it, but it was a good thing in terms of Pearl's obsession was...
I was happy to see that.
Yeah. I mean, you look at these characters, and some people have argued that, you know, Amethyst, Pearl, and Garnet have represented, and Steven also, have represented different stages of, like, emotional development, where Steven, of course, being young is at the lowest level, and Garnet has achieved the balance between, like, you know, anger and happiness, sadness, all this kind of stuff, because she still experiences them, as you can see, but she's more balanced and rational compared to, you know, Amethyst, who is still immature, but a step above Steven, of course, and Pearl, who, of course, has a grasp of her emotions, but is overly emotional in terms of being too worried, being too protective, too caring. So, seeing Pearl have a flaw in her emotions, or basically, like, this obsession thing being a thing that could come up in the future, I think was significant.
Right. It was very interesting, and I think I really enjoyed it because of the fact that, you know, it doesn't just paint one side of a person, because usually when shows do stuff like this, it gets wacky, where it's just, hey, look at the brother that I never mentioned. You know, something like that. But I like in this case that it was a side about, you know, with her that we've seen little bits of, where it's just, you know, I mean, I believe we've seen before a little bit, or, okay, we've seen Lapis saying, I miss home. So it's not as if that idea is foreign to us. Then we see her say, oh, I miss home. And like many people, you know, when you really are obsessed with something, especially something like your home world or getting back, at least into space in general, I think, because I have to say, yeah, if you've been to space, one planet can't hold you. You know what I mean? One planet can't. Like, it's literally a punishment. The doctor was punished once, saying, you are banished to Earth. Your TARDIS will not work. We've taken out key components. You know, the Time Lords did this. Not only did they make him regenerate, so they changed his face without his permission. They also just dropped him on Earth. And they said, this is where you're staying for your time, you know, for your punishment for taking, not Earth people, but taking people out of their proper timelines and taking them across time and space.
Yeah,
so,
it's amazing because that kind of stuff makes sense in this episode, where you look at someone like Pearl, who, of course, shows that she misses home. That makes sense. And she's got this added motivation in her head of, I want to show Steven everything, so I want to show Steven the cosmos, of course, because they were amazing to me, so they must be amazing to him. And on top of that, you know, just the episode before, we saw that Pearl knew nothing about, you know, mechanics in terms of working a car. But she was able to learn everything, obsess over it, and then fix his van. So you turn to something like this, and it's stated, you know, Pearl was like, why have I never tried this before? So it's implied that she knows nothing about aeronautics and space travel. So, of course, you know, I'm not surprised that her first flights were doomed to fail. Because this was, you know, over the span of Pearl's obsession took it, you know, compared to, if you want to say, well, why did the car work and why didn't the space thing work? First off, one is much more complicated than the other. Secondly, Pearl had the benefit of being rational when it came to the car because she sat there and thought it out in terms of what she was doing. This space thing drove her into this madness where she was just like, space, gotta have space. I don't know if any of you play Portal, but it was just...
Also, the idea that I think if she was... Okay, even, and I will say this much too, even if she was still, you know, as irrational as she was, if she was given NASA, you know, it's a bit different than being given parts in a garage or parts in a barn, you know, which also did not help either. But also you have to say that, you know, after all her years of being alive or at least existing, right, it's very interesting in how she can basically just, you know, from the looks of it, just take a book, right, flip through all the pages and go, done.
Yeah, and it's...
Because she made something.
Mm-hmm, she did, and I think, but it's implied that, you know, the parts are somewhat primitive. And also the idea that, you know, it makes sense to me that you look at Pearl, who very much relies on gem power, gem capability, gem history. I mean, when Steven talks about wanting to learn, she doesn't teach him herself. She summons the mirror for him to learn from. And she also says that it'll teach you everything you need to know about gem history, basically making it seem that, you know, the human history is basically not important. And so you look at something where Pearl will say, like, oh, I've never tried this, because in her head, space travel for humans was primitive. You know, that was below her in terms of what she was capable of doing. Like, she's a magical gem warrior. Why would she build a spaceship? But it occurred to her, through her obsession, that it might help.
I'm just laughing so hard because when you bring up all the mirror stuff, and it really just hit me. You know, because in my head I heard it's very ethnocentric, and then it really hit me that this is just what you study in class all the time. This is your major. You're just trying to discuss your major through Gravity Falls.
Or Steven Universe, if that's what we happen to be talking about.
But it isn't. We're talking about Gravity Falls. This entire episode was only about
I thought we were talking about wrestling, because I was talking about Seth Rollins. But, you know, you look at Seth and his interest.
About Gravity Falls several times.
No,
yes.
It is a point of view that I use to analyze, you know, stuff in class.
Yes.
Because I am a sociology major. This doesn't come up much on the podcast, but I'm a socio major, so I study society and how people look at things. So Pearl is ethnocentric. And
yes.
She's unaware that she's ethnocentric, but you also look at the way that she reacts. Yeah,
right.
Because you look at the way that she reacts to even, like, the general people on the boardwalk in terms of the pizza people, you know, when they come to play. Or you look at the way that she reacts to humans celebrating birthdays or even Greg hugging her, where it just – there's subtle but very strong implications of Pearl basically being an ethnocentric person because she thinks that as – do some people, that the gems are more advanced than human beings. And arguably they are. But it doesn't
also
mean that she's able to discard their history.
Yes. And before we, you know, get back to some very funny lines of the episode, and before we have to go, I would like to mention, I tried to say Gravity Falls to trick you, because if anyone doesn't know, Stitch has a very bad memory. So I want to see if I could fool him into thinking in the last 7 minutes that we've been talking about Gravity Falls the entire time, and Steven Universe were only the references to the newest Gravity Falls episode. Sadly, it did not work. But anyway, bringing up the crying breakfast friends, I'm just such a huge fan of just the idea that, you know, and only because you mentioned before where just, you know, children's show have kind of, you know, gone down a bit in quality, we just see that in their show, you know, as if to just make, you know, to make poke fun at things like that, as if, you know, speaking of Gravity Falls, the idea that in the Halloween episode they had the claymation kind of situation. You know, where it was just like, you know, poking fun at them, you know, what was it? You know, people who make this, they're in their basements all day. What do you even call them? They're called animators. Things like that. Where, you know, it's really fun that they can just poke fun at themselves. And then also, a very fun thing that I saw in this episode. Steven is grounded only in the sense that he can be on Earth and do anything he wants without any restrictions. But only on Earth.
Yeah, I did kind of like that line. Steven, you're grounded. What? No, I mean, you're grounded. You can't leave Earth. Oh. What?
Yeah, right?
God damn it.
Yeah, just Oh man, stupid company bylaws.
No, and also, you know, that's that point that you just brought up, that little scene, reminded me of also something that struck me as a red flag. Pearl made an offhanded comment there where she was basically like, you know, fine, I'll just do it on my own, not like it would be any different. Which also feeds this idea in my head that I really think, you know, Pearl is an ethnocentric character, and it's not something where I want to sit there and be like, Pearl is racist, this is a bad show. But
no,
opposite, where it's that Pearl is ethnocentric. And that's
and
important
good.
To realize, because someone like Steven is the result of a human being and a gem, which means he understands. I mean, it's weird to say, but you look at this in the terms of racism, which I didn't even want to jump into. But Steven is an interracial kid, which means he understands what he gains from being a gem, but also his, and he struggles with that. I mean, you look at his interaction with Connie, where, you know, Connie to her, it's just, hey, if you end up being like me, it's okay. But Steven knows that he isn't just a human being. He has to do more in his head.
Yeah.
So that's why he gets upset. Not so much that he would be a human being, but that he's expected to do more.
Yeah, and it makes sense in this show. Usually it wouldn't in other shows, but in this show it makes sense because in the beginning it was, again, just very straightforward, but now we're getting into, I would argue, these levels, you know, these areas that most shows wouldn't really go into, and they still can't be pushed that hard, at least as of yet in this season. But they can still be, you know, thrown in there, just a little things that if you're, you know, older than a certain age, you go, huh. You know, that's pretty, you would say racist instead of ethnocentric, really, when you mean ethnocentric, you know, for some of these things, where it feels as if it's just very much our culture and not their culture. And, you know, sadly, we have to go, but I would like to thank you guys for listening to those guys. And also, Satish, tell everyone about our cool, secret, but not so secret Pokemon giveaway.
Yeah, if you're a big fan of Pokemon, especially now we hit X and Y, we've got a giveaway for you. In this month of October, lovely month of October, it ends off with All Hallows Eve, Halloween. And in honor of that, we are giving away 6 shiny, spooky, competitively ready Pokemon this month through our Tumblr, Facebook, and Twitter. So running that by you again, you've got a chance to win one of our shiny, competitively ready, beneficial nature, beneficial IVs, Pokemon for battle, for fun, whatever you'd like to do. From us, from me personally, because I, you know, Pokemon obsesses. I'm obsessed with Pokemon, hey. But if you like us on Facebook and share our post about the giveaway, if you follow us on Twitter and retweet the post about the giveaway, and if you follow us on Tumblr and reblog the post about our giveaway, you have a chance to win on one of our social media outlets one of those shiny Pokemon. That's literally all you have to do. No big question answering, no money, no sending in for sweepstakes. Just help us out by spreading the word about those guys.
Yes. And we will be choosing 2 winners from each account.
That's correct.
Right, but
so
either
2
way,
people on Tumblr have a chance to win, 2 on Twitter, 2 on Facebook.
But you still get 3 chances to win, and that's still a nice amount. Where all you have to do is just follow us on Tumblr and reblog the post, which we mentioned on our Tumblr and on our Facebook. And of course, when you go to our Twitter, Those Guys Radio or Professor Oak, you'll see the post, I believe, stickied, if you will. And you also go to our Facebook, Those Guys on the Radio, or just Those Guys, and you will see the post ready right there that you can share. And of course, like our page, and then Tumblr. Well, as I mentioned, it's in this post if you got, to our Steven Universe show through Tumblr. And if not,
right,
Those Guys on the Radio, thoseguysontheradio.tumblr.com.
Right, and one thing, of course, to mention is that, hey, if you don't happen to win anything from this giveaway, guess what? We've got a giveaway coming up next month, too, and we'll have one in December. So basically, keep tuned in to us on our podcast. Keep following us on our social media outlets. You don't only have a chance to win stuff. You have a chance to interact with us. Give us show ideas, of course, is the what seems like distant in the past, but email is always available. If you'd like to message us at thoseguysontheradio@gmail.com with advertising opportunities or show suggestions, both of which we welcome.
Yes, of course we do. And by the way, keep on watching Steven Universe, not only for us, but for your sake, because Steven Universe, which airs this Thursday on Cartoon Network at 6:30 p.m., awkward time, but I mean, it's
or 6:45. Actually,
or 6:45.
If it's just one episode, it's going to be 6:45 Eastern Time, 5:45 Central.
Thank you then. But yeah, so that's what that is. So yeah, so thank you guys for listening to Those Guys. Who should play us out? I want to play us out.
Go for it.
let's play us out. Or can we? I don't think we can. Because Blog Talk Radio doesn't want us.
I'll do my best. Let's see what I can do with my magical capabilities here to try and play us out.
Wait, I think I have something. I have something.
I know
you
I'm
got
not
me.
That tall. I know I'm not that smart. But let me drive my van into your heart. Let me drive my van into your heart. I know I'm not that rich. I'm trying to get my start. So let me drive my van into your heart. Let me drive my van into your heart. And if we look at a plane, well, baby, that's okay. I'll drive us into outer space, where we can hear what people say. I know I don't have a plan. I'm working on that part. At least I've got a van. So let me drive my van into your heart. 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 Let me drive my van into your heart.